Ask the Podcast Coach for November 28th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
There it is, the last Ask the Podcast Coach for November, which means next week I won't look like a homeless. This is as good as it gets. It's always good to talk about things very visual at the beginning of your show. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com, and we are here every Saturday morning, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And joining me, as always, holding down the fort last week stupendously, the one and only Jim Cullison from theaverageguy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. Good to have you back on Saturday mornings. Thanks to Steve Stewart, who jumped in with me and gave me 2 hours of his time on a Saturday morning. And Steve's just a pro. So, Steve, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you filling in.
He is a good guy. Yeah, I really thought I was going to be able to either chime in on the phone or something. Didn't happen. Moving was, that was an all-day thing. By the end of the day, I had 25, set a new record, 25,000 steps. And I want to say 51 sets of stairs.
What are you using to track it?
My Fitbit.
Fitbit. Okay.
I love my Fitbit. Yeah. And so, evil Spock.
That's yeah. It's versus homeless.
Yeah.
That's the look. Beards are what we're talking about. It's we're at the end of November, right? And, so I didn't do this. This is just taking a couple days off. Took a couple days off. It grows pretty fast. I get a pretty good mug pretty fast if I let it go. That's why I don't do it. I hate those. I don't know how you do it, Dave. I don't want, just shave and get rid of it. Maybe 3 days and I'm good. Not so much. Speaking of Black Friday deals, they abound. And so we're going to ask you during the show, if you've got a good Black Friday deal that's still going, a lot of these, Black Friday means nothing anymore, right? It means it's going to be sometime in November and December. Yeah. That's what that means now, right? So if you found a good podcasting Black Friday deal, go ahead and drop it in the chat and we'll talk about those that are available. I found a Woot deal. Now these aren't necessarily Black Friday, but if you were looking for a new laptop, now these will be gone by the time you get to them and by the time you listen to this, because it takes Dave a week to publish the audio out there. But there's a laptop, Core i5, $229. And I thought it was a Dell refurb. And I just thought, man, if you're looking to get into an inexpensive laptop, now is the time. This is actually the best time to buy computer equipment.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about getting into it, I have just seen some really good deals.
Yeah. I was, went to Best Buy yesterday and picked up a new, because the other thing I noticed, my speakers here, I have to jiggle the cord. It's just that they've been around forever. And so I haven't plugged them in yet. They're downstairs, but I have a new set of those. Picked up a really cheap, one of those sound bars that you connect to your TV. It sounds phenomenal. I love it because it's Bluetooth. So I just get up in the morning, connect my Bluetooth, start playing podcasts through the speaker. It's awesome. Has a nice little woofer. I'm sure my neighbors love me now because I'm just rattling the bass. And so
pretty handy. Stargate Pioneer, from a podcasting standpoint, says Newegg has Logitech C920s for $40 today. That is a bona fide good deal. So it's about 20-25 off to what they normally are now. I know they retail for $99, but nobody sells them for $99 anymore. So if you've been holding off to get a C920, now is probably the time to jump in. And I think most podcasters, that's what they're using these days, Dave. I don't know anybody who's not or has a different camera.
Yeah, has anybody done the C9? I think isn't there a C930 now? Like the newer version?
I don't know. That's a good question.
We have an open seat. If you're new to the show, we're at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. The way this works, you click on the seat there. We let you in. We usually do one at a time. So if somebody's in here or Jim and I are making a point and you've clicked on that, you might have to sit there a second, but that's okay. Just don't run away because you had to wait 5 seconds. We'll get to you eventually, but the seat is open. Jim, I thought about this. Should we talk about what do you hope Santa will bring you? Do you have any gear you wish you would have?
As we think about leading up to Christmas, one of the hard parts for me about that question is during the year, I just buy stuff when I need it.
Yeah.
And so like we get to Christmas, we use Google as a family. We use a Google Doc. Everybody, I've got adult kids now for the most part. So everybody, we share a Google Doc. And so everybody puts their Christmas lists in the Google Doc. And we do a stocking. We also do like Secret Santa stockings where everybody draws a name and then you fill up the stocking. So you have your Christmas list and your stocking list all in a Google Doc, which is incredibly convenient because I can never remember. I got five kids, so I can never remember any of that stuff, right, to get it done. So, how old am I? I'm 47. Okay. Yeah.
Five kids? Like, what did you start, do? You're 13 or something?
Start doing the math. And yeah, I'm pretty close. I was 14. My wife was 12. So the not really. But that has been a good trick from a family perspective. If you have family all over the country and a lot of people do, getting a shared Google Doc going with everybody's lists is a healthy, easy, convenient way to get everybody caught up. But yeah, my big problem is during the year, Dave, I don't know about you, but podcasting gear tends to be a little more expensive than your typical Christmas, you know,
gift. Can't go to your wife and go, I just need a Heil PR40 and the shock mount and the stand. It's only $600.
That's just it. $6.99. Can you bust that out?
Yeah, that seems fair.
Yeah, you know, I don't. Besides maybe a monitor mount. I put a fourth monitor down here, and it could use a mount to get it up off the desk.
I've had problems with those where they don't fit my monitors.
Mm.
Bought some in the past, and there was no way to, you know, I think I have some Dell monitors. And it seemed like I couldn't get the base off because you have to kind of take the base off. And
Not every monitor has a VESA mount on the back to get that.
And I was like, well, I guess that was a great idea. That's not going to work. But I've lost that whole thing where I had three monitors going. I now just have two and I'm using my little switcher. So,
yeah, I run four. Now I'm running four. I've actually, you know, I run a server off of one. So it's all my VMs and all that stuff is on one monitor. Then podcasting rig has two monitors that I'm looking at here. By the way, mounted monitors from Amazon are the ones I have found to be the best in between price and functionality. They're very sturdy, mounted, MOUNT-IT. Those for me, that's just what they're usually between $45 and $65. And then they're just built super rugged. And it's not like they're a jungle gym. So you don't have to, you know, they don't have to be super strong, but they have to work pretty well. And then I just set up an extension for I have a Surface Pro 3 that I leave on the desk and I watch movies on it and do some stuff on it. And so that actually has an extension monitor. So it'd be nice to have that mounted up off the desk. But, you know, I think about those, there isn't a lot, but for podcasters, a couple things I think you could think of. We were mentioning this right off the show, SD cards would be a handy gift to ask for. Now, you know, I'm alive to the hard drive guy and I like to rub it in all the time. I like to talk about that. But most podcasters or a lot of podcasters use some kind of voice recorder. Those take SD. So, Dave, are you looking for, I mean, since you can't find yours this morning, would it be handy to have more for you?
Yeah, I'm off to, it's always nice to have a spare so that when you, you know, get the dreaded, you know, out of space and you're trying to, we've done that here where I've had to pull things off and delete it. It takes, you know, a couple minutes, which seems like forever when you're waiting for that. So yeah, SD cards are good. If you have somebody that's recording, you know, onto, those, that's a great thing. So
one of the things this time of year, I always recommend people check besides their backups is their antivirus if they're on Windows, right? And this is for a podcaster. These are the things you forget about when you start kind of podcasting. You know, one, this is a great time of the year during the holidays. Make sure your stuff is getting backed up, whether it's going to Carbonite or CrashPlan or a Acronis. I mean, there's a bunch of backup solutions to get it done. And so check it. Check to make sure that you're in some kind of scenario where you can get backed up. If you have a NAS, maybe you're backing up to your own NAS. A server as well. But antivirus is one. This is a good Black Friday deal. They almost all of them run some kind of Black Friday. I'm a Bitdefender guy and they were running 70% off on Black Friday. So I got a 3 PC license for $17, which for a year is a pretty good deal for antivirus. So don't forget about that if you're on Windows. That's one of those things. You should use it as the end of the year maintenance for your PC.
Yeah, that is one of those things that and I'm one of those guys, I don't live and breathe it, but I'm still using McAfee because I haven't found anything else. But now that you said Bitdefender, I'll have to go check because I've always heard that McAfee is horrible. And I'm like, what should I use? And it's like,
Yeah, you know, McAfee got bought by Intel, and Intel stripped it down. I mean, Intel wanted to have their own solution that they can embed on the chips, and they actually stripped it down and did a lot of changes to it. And over at theaverageguy.tv, if you type in McAfee, you'll see one of our guys wrote an article about reconsidering it. Now, Norton, I think everybody's still kind of like, you know, don't do Norton. It's a big pig. But some of those ones that are out there, I don't want this to become an antivirus discussion, because we do that at theaverageguy.tv. If you want to join us on Thursday nights, we talk about this geeky stuff all the time. But have something, right? Have something on there. Stargate Pioneer said, oh, he had a terrible experience upgrading to Windows 10. I told you. Yeah. So wait. I heard that. Wait till next year. I told you.
Speaking of podcasting, I found a, let me put this in the chat room. Everybody knows that when I say the word new and noteworthy, I throw up in my mouth just a little bit. And I found a great example. And it's not that I'm anti-new and noteworthy. I'm anti-spending all of your time and effort and just, you know, blood and sweat and tears to get into new and noteworthy. And so Christopher Gronlund, who's a super nice guy, I met him at Podcast Move, met him a couple times. And he said, I launched a new show last week, did a little experiment for the first time. In doing three shows, I actually looked to see where the new show was on New and Noteworthy in iTunes. It was fairly down the list in the category, around 70th in the category. This is far enough down that I was too lazy to count. So we've all been there. So yesterday, I actually asked a few people to share a link to the show. It only took, you ready for this? 6 unique listens to jump the show above the cut, so to speak, to the 28th place in the category. A jump of about 40 spots with only 6 listens that may not even have been full listens. So my point to that is reverse engineer that. So when you're how many downloads should I expect if I jump 28 places? 6 downloads. So it's awesome that I was Daniel J. Lewis said a great thing. He said new and noteworthy should be a reward, not a, you know, a goal. But it was just, I'm hearing more and more and more that, you know, just new and noteworthy just ain't what it used to be. And I saw that in a Google Plus community, and I was like, yeah, that's kind of what I've been telling people. Cause I feel bad when I have people come up to me and go, I'm in new and noteworthy. And I'm like, good for you. It's like, it's not gonna.
You and everybody else that put a podcast out that week. Yeah. It's pretty much open. I think it's pretty much open to everybody. I don't know if there's a, I'll do an experiment. I'm getting ready to submit one of our new podcasts from Gallup to iTunes. So, probably happen Monday or Tuesday of this week. I'll put the submission process in. One, see how long it's taking these days. I think it's a couple days, right? Between, I think it's 2 or 3 days. It's the holidays, so maybe it'll be a little bit more. Yeah. And then two, we'll monitor. We'll see what it does when it gets in new and noteworthy from that standpoint. I still think it's one of those kinds of things. You know, you're doing well. I mean, I've seen some posts from guys and gals that are like, okay, I'm stuck at 100 downloads. What do I do next? And there's just this, you know, there's just this undercurrent of like, you know, I think the average person is going to only reach the average number of people that they have, you know, assigned to them on Facebook, so to speak. And, you know, I think we're all, without any, a lot of outside promotions, we're all going to get stuck at that 200 or 300. You've got to do some things. And sometimes there's no magical formula for this. Some of it depends on how good you are. Some of it depends on how lucky you are. But you got to put yourself in a situation to be lucky enough for some of those kind of things to work for you. So, you know, I think we're all looking for that magic social media thing. How do I do this on Twitter? How do I do it on Facebook? Well, you buy it. That's how you do it. If you want to, you've got to have some capital. You can absolutely expand your audience if you buy Twitter and Facebook advertising. It will work, but you're going to spend some money doing it. If you don't have any money to spend, you got to start beating the street. You got to start getting in. This goes back to the old school, what you used to say. But you got to join some forums where your audience is. You've got to engage. You've got to spend some time. If you don't have the money, you're going to have to spend the time to get it done. And you just kind of beat the street and get to know some people. There's no other way to do it unless you go buy it. And by the way, you could buy other people's podcasts. We haven't talked about that, right? You can go to podcasters, especially as they're pod fading, and ask them, "Can I buy your listeners?" Right? You know, yeah. And start doing some of that acquisition that way.
Daniel J. Lewis did a thing where it was a show similar to his, and they had pod faded, and they let the domain slip. So he bought the domain and pointed their feed at his feed. And he said for a couple weeks, you know, he saw a definite spike there. And I was like, that's brilliant. So, yeah, in the end, I always say, you know, figure out who your audience is, go to where they are, make friends with them. That's the one that everybody wants to skip, and then tell them about your podcast. And it just takes time. I was listening to the, Wolf Den, which is a show about podcasting from the guys at Midroll. And they were interviewing some woman who has gotten millions of dollars in funding to fund some sort of audio search. Like it's going to somehow do, like transcribe your, it's going to be able to read audio, for lack of a better phrase, is what they're trying to do. It was a really interesting conversation. Because again, they were saying there's a discoverability problem. And I'm like, I don't think Serial had a discoverability problem. But that's a whole nother discussion. But she said the way that people find podcasts are A, number one, because they did this big survey, word of mouth. So people are telling other people about it. Number two was they hear about it on another show, which to me is still kind of word of mouth, but it's from a podcast host that they know, like, and trust. And then the third one, want to guess what this was? I did not see this one coming. Hmm. The third way that people find podcasts?
Yeah.
Got a guess?
No.
Twitter. And I was like,
no, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm like, I could see people, you know, all right, let's click this and see what it is. And
I thought you were going to have something magical like Lucky Charms or something like that. It's just Twitter, huh?
I was like, okay. I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I expected, but it was just like, you know, maybe on a network, or I find a lot of podcasts where the old, most of the stuff I listened to actually came about from the days of subscribing in iTunes, when it said, if you like this show, you'll like this one. And for now, I just go out and do a Google search, or I'll go into iTunes and do a search. There is a thing, people are buying listeners on SoundCloud. If you go to davidjackson.org, it's sad, but there are people that are, you can buy, oh, it's like 3 cents a listen, or 0.03 cents a listen. It's a couple week old.
But that's not what I was talking about when we talk about buying listeners. I was talking about reaching out to a podcaster who's pod fading and saying, I want to buy your audience. And when you do that, that's a negotiated price between you and them that they support you. Hey, I'm pod fading. They let they send this note out to their lists, and they advertise it on their podcast. We're going to be wrapping up this podcast. I want to refer you over to, or I want to, you know, or you come on as a guest, or you do those kinds of things. That's what I'm talking about. When we talk about buying listeners, it's almost buying the podcast up from, you know, because think about it. If you had 3 or 4 or 5 podcasters, and many of them go pod fade, if they've all gathered 100 or 200 listeners in their process, and you can pick up a handful of those 3, 4, 5, that's depending on what your acquisition cost is. Maybe they'll do it for nothing, but maybe it'll be $100. I don't know. It's like buying a car. It's what is it worth to you? Well, that's a technique I've seen guys do to get, you know, think about all those ones that have pod faded out there. And those are listeners that are abandoned.
Yeah. The, something I just started playing with, it's interesting. It's not doing anything for me yet. And it's a weird domain. Did you know there's a domain? It's dot market. There is a dot market, and it's cast dot market. And what it is, it's kind of a blueberry on a less personal, level. You basically go in, you list your show, and you say, I will accept sponsorships for, and it's CPM. So, you know, it's like, here we go. But it's a weird catch 22, because I've actually gone in I wanted to see what it was like from the advertiser standpoint. That's really interesting, because you can see what their maximum, like how high did they get in the charts? How many countries did they make the charts in? It's interesting. And you can say, I will pay you X amount of CPM. And apparently people either don't know their shows are in here or don't like my CPM. So it's a catch 22. On one hand, I'm like, CPM stinks, man. It doesn't work for the podcaster, but yet I want to turn around and pay really low CPMs to advertise on other people's shows. I thought about that. You could, if you wanted to, you know, advertise your show on another person's show. To me though, if you if you were going to do that, you'd want to find a show similar to yours. And if it is, why not just do a promo swap? I'll talk about your show if you talk about mine and save everybody some money. But I just saw that there's I think we're going to see a lot of toys coming online for podcasting. And I saw this one. I know I get we all get different emails from I forget the other one that just launched. That looks like SoundCloud.
Oh yeah, we were just talking about that the other day. It is called. I have it up here. Let's see. Hold on, if I can find the group here. SMAB, SMAB.audio.
Yeah, that I was like, okay. And I emailed them and I said, you know, I gave them my criteria. Do you change the file name? Do you change the ID3 tags? Can I redirect my feed? And they basically went, we don't think we are what you're looking for. And I went, that's interesting. Okay.
I disagree. With these guys. I think this is exactly what we're looking for. I think this is the next evolution of audio listening, which I thought SoundCloud was in the early days of SoundCloud, social sharing inside the audio was, you could make notes, you could link right to a spot. I mean, cause think about it. You got a guy doing a mix, you know, in SoundCloud and he's got a little, what do they call those? A little sample. Yeah. And you want to share just that sample with people. SoundCloud is really good at that. Its player is very functional, very dynamic. I mean, I know we rip it. And Dave, you rip it hard, right? I mean, I know this community is anti-SoundCloud. But for what SoundCloud was originally intended to be, it's dynamite. And I think these guys over at SMAB, when you posted that out there, I don't know if you intended to be sarcastic or you were being honest when you were putting it out there. But now that I hear you say this. But it's really cool because it's taking an audio file and it's adding rich content into the audio file, which is what we need as podcasters. I think this is the future when we think about how people listen to audio. Imagine the ability to put up things in the audio as we're listening to them in our podcatcher, right? So I'm saying something and then it shows you something. Imagine the value of that. That doesn't really exist today. And they're trying to bring that to the audio.
My whole thing is I would assume that those features are on your website. That was the thing that worried me when I thought I got to go to SMAB to do that. I'm like, no, we're going to see a lot of players coming down the pike. I know the guys over at Appendipity are working on a player because not everybody needs their themes or they don't feel like switching themes. So they have a really decent player that they're looking at some ways of spicing that up. So we'll see what comes down the pike. We should probably mention, if you just join us, you're listening to and watching askthepodcastcoach.com/live. We do have, and speaking of an open seat, here comes one, the one and only. I'm going to let iRadio USA in here. I didn't mean to kick her out. She's probably pushing. How's it going, sir?
How are you, sir?
Good.
How are you? We're broadcasting. We're iRadio USA, WLINY, broadcasting live from New York. I just wanted to say that I'm enjoying your podcast. Nice. Your presentation here on Blab. And we're sitting here watching, and I wanted to say hi. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, we're doing good. Enjoying it. We're waving at November as it heads out the door.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. We're right up the mall. We're right up the road from the Smith Haven Mall here. And they had helicopters flying overhead yesterday. You could not get into this. People are really, as far as retail markets go, people are really out there shopping. It's amazing. And it's good to see people that are not afraid to get out on the streets and do what they have to do. So,
but it's good. But don't you find it's just as easy to buy it online? I mean, why go to the store when you can just really get everything online?
Do you shop at Amazon, sir?
I do. Yeah.
Doesn't shop at Amazon. It's a great thing, right? It's a great thing, right?
Yeah, right. But
I just want to.
But I use like
we're here with Mr. Ed Muniz and Phil Jacino. I'm just showing him what Blab's all about. You guys very professional, and I wanted to just stop in and say hi.
So, awesome. Thanks, Chris. What's your website?
Website WLINY.com.
Awesome.
WLINY.com. Long Island, New York, the world. All right. Hey,
thanks for stopping by.
And whoever's applauding me, thank you. I appreciate that, guys. Have a great one. Thank you. Bye-bye,
all right,
guys.
Take care. All right. Couple radio guys.
Here comes Kim again. Awesome. keeping our fingers crossed. And
can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yay. Okay. So first of all, don't want to buy everything on Amazon. Buy local. That's an important thing.
Yeah.
Keep your local businesses. Keep the money in town. And my question is a non-technical but podcasting question. So
okay.
Little change. I'm procrastinating. I'm looking at the holidays and thinking, I don't know. Do I really want a podcast? So how do I get motivated to do this when there's a zillion other things, including eating the last of the turkey?
One of two ways. You either A, put an episode and go, hey guys, it's the holiday times. Time to be with your friends and family. I'll see you in January. That's one option. Option number two, buckle down, record a couple shows, and time release them so that it looks like you're there, but you're not. Jim, any ideas on that? That's pretty much your two options.
Yeah. I just take the week off. I take the week off and still podcast through December. So I schedule everything. But I think the trick is during the holidays to carve off, to use a Thanksgiving metaphor, right? Carve off 3 or 4 hours of some time if you're going to produce something to get it done and just mentally get in the zone to do it. But I like to scale it back. And I think the listeners appreciate it when you scale it back. They're busy too. And so, you know, it was Dave, you had a short show this week and I was okay with it. I'm like, hey, Dave's moving. It's the holidays. I've got a lot of stuff to do myself. I'm not going to have as much time to listen to it. So I'm going to produce, no Home Gadget Geeks this week, but I have a home tech tip in the hopper that I need to get out. And I've, you know, this afternoon is going to be the 2 hours it takes me to get that done. So Kim, that's what I've been. I don't know. You have some suggestions of your own that you'd give the podcasters as far as podcasting through the holidays?
Me? No, yeah. That's the problem. I'm procrastinating. I have one in the hopper that I'm waiting for some information from somebody to. They have to approve it before I can let it go live, and they're in Denver, and not listening to podcasts today. So I can't do anything probably before Monday or Tuesday, but then I have nothing left and I'm not real motivated. I kind of pod faded for a couple of months trying to get ready for a new season. And then I got laryngitis and could not speak for 5 weeks. It was really awful. And now it's,
Let it be a break. I mean, just let it be a break. Take it for what it is. Work it in its value. Let it be a break for you. I don't know if it would help you to sit down and start thinking about what does it look like when January comes around, or can I start scheduling new guests for January, February? But can you let this be a break? Is that okay?
My sponsor probably is not real happy with
that. That is a problem. Yes. Yeah. So that is a problem. Yeah. So you need to light the fires and kick the tires, right?
I need to do something. Yeah. And they're very generous. They've understood that they didn't want my voice going out the way it was. I didn't want my voice going out the way it was, but something needs to be going out soon. Goodbye. My daughter just left. The college kids going back to college thing.
Do you want to go say goodbye to her?
No, she's okay. Coming back.
Oh, okay. All right.
she's going to work. She'll be back in a little while.
Okay. All right.
Well, another key point from the one and only Ryan K. Parker.
No one will punch you in the face.
Right. Take a break. So keep that in mind.
Well, but she does have a sponsor.
I have a sponsor.
I think, Kim, you got to sit down. You got to come up with a plan to sit down and carve out a couple hours a day for the next 3 to 5 days. And just you got to grind through it. I mean, what do you do? I mean, what do you do when you have something you don't want to do? It kind of depends on your personality. So for some people, they just need a few steps to get them going. Like for me, when I'm procrastinating, if I just take the first or second step, the rest of them will come, right? And so I just need to trick myself into, you know, I give ice cream or I tell myself I can breathe, right? I do anything I can to get that process going. Because once I get going, I'm fine. Other people need to schedule. Like some people need to write it out. I don't know if you're a schedule person, to write it out, make notes, list it, some of those kinds of things. Some people work best in that scenario. So I think take whatever motivates you, and you know what it is, right? Whatever motivates you, get that thing in there, then get that ball rolling. Because if you have sponsors, you absolutely need to get it going, right? Yeah, you can't just sit back.
Yeah, I think it was Ray Edwards that said, think about like the absolute next step you need to take. And it may be finding your car keys or whatever it is. You know, I don't want to go to the doctor. All right. Well, what do you need to do next? Well, I need to drive there. Okay. What's before that? Well, I need to find my coat. Then, you know, and just baby step it to death. You will feel better when it's done. That's the good news. Typically, well, anytime you're procrastinating, there's always some weird reason why, who knows why, but,
Kim, what are you stuck on? What are you stuck on right now? What's the hard part? When you think about doing this, what's the barrier that's stopping you?
I'm trying to kick off a new podcast, and the whole intimidating, I asked people for feedback and got a lot of not positive feedback. So now I have to go back and redo a lot of what I felt was going to be a fairly simple process. And now I have to figure out how to fix what they felt wasn't ideal.
Do you have to? I mean, do you agree with it?
That's what I'm wrestling with. I feel like I should be paying attention to them because I did trust them enough to ask them for their opinions. On the flip side, none of them are podcasters. I was just talking about content with them. So maybe they really, and they don't listen to podcasts except for perhaps mine. So they don't have a lot of experience. So maybe I should listen to them, but maybe I shouldn't. And maybe I'm just going to sit here.
Do a hybrid. Like, so list the whatever, seven things. I'm making that number up, right? But list the seven bits of feedback they give you and prioritize them and say, okay, I'm going to change these one at a time, one a month, one a week, one every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But don't let them all consume you all at once, right? Don't feel like you got to change everything. Pick the glaring one that you agree with, make the change, and then move forward and start getting these things out, right? And then each week or every other week or whatever you commit to, add one in. Because that's such a hard pill to swallow to change all those things all at once. But I find when I get that kind of feedback, if I take it over time, if I do it 4 weeks or 6 weeks, all of a sudden it kind of just melts in like butter on toast, you know, and you just don't even know it's there, but it tastes good. Not really, but that was a bad example. But you know what I'm saying? You just take them a bit at a time and prioritize them. If that works for you, that might be a good way to kind of ease into this thing instead of trying to, you know, take the whole thing at once, the whole elephant.
And maybe, yeah, maybe you take the new podcast and put it on hiatus so you can keep the current one going.
Well, the new one's not even up yet.
Right.
Maybe you postpone launching that then.
Then the feedback you got was on the new podcast or on your current podcast?
On the new podcast.
Yeah. So I think you could, if that's the stumbling block, I think you could push through that by just kind of facing the giant and getting those things listed out and then agreeing to your own self, hey, I'm not going to change these things right away, but I will implement them. That's honest. You're still going to implement them. You're just not going to do it right now.
I don't know. I don't know that I agree with some of them.
Well, then leave those to the bottom, right? And think about them. Sometimes when I get that kind of feedback, at first I'm like, ooh, no, not at all. And then I think about it for a couple of weeks or I hear myself doing it in the podcast and I'm like, oh, yeah, they're totally right. Right? Or they're not. I mean, but the ones you disagree with, put it at the bottom.
Okay.
To me, anytime I ever get feedback that if somebody says, you know, I think you should do this, I always, you know, step back and kind of go, okay, is this something, do they have a point, I guess? Number two, is this person my target audience? Because somebody who wants a 5-minute show is not going to like that. Because it's great advice if it's coming from your target audience. If this person isn't your target audience, consider the source. And so that's that. And then the other one is, okay, if it is your target audience, is this something that in the end, it's your show and, you know, can you implement this idea without losing what you feel the show should be about? And if it is, if you're like, oh, it's a great idea, but really the show is about this. And if I do that, then I got to change the whole show. Well, then don't do it. It's your show.
That's a good point. Cause these are people who are experienced in my field, but they are not the target audience.
Yeah. So it's interesting feedback. Now go ask your target audience and see what they say.
I think that I will do that. Thank you very much.
All right, Kim, good to see you.
Good talking with you all. You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of your turkey.
Yes.
It's gone.
Emily from at @classy_podcast asks, do download numbers go over the holidays? And I pulled up my Libsyn stats while we were talking to Kim, and I looked at last year because I was going to say, no, they don't. Apparently they do. Not a ton, at least for me. This is for School of Podcasting last year. Not a huge drop, but 20% maybe. That's a pretty, it's, I looked at it and went, wow, okay. And it's after Christmas. You know, they go in compared to November to December. But on the other hand, I could see where they wouldn't, because I know I listened to a lot of podcasts while I was shopping. I just had the earbuds in, which also helps because it keeps pesky salesmen away, because they know you can't. It's like, no, nah, you know, because I've always said, on one hand, podcasting is it's a little bit of a winter sport. At least it is in Cleveland, because there's nothing else to do. And so we're kind of in front of our computers a little more. Now with people consuming podcasts more on their phone, I don't know. What do you even pay attention, Jim? I don't care.
Yeah, for my show, I don't even look. I mean, I kind of look, and I've never graphed them out. I just don't worry about it. I push through the holidays. I know that if it's a good show, it'll get picked up, and it'll do well. You know, this may be a causal effect that the numbers may go down because our podcasting quality might go down during the holidays on our side, right? We do less of it. We don't give it as much attention. We don't prep for it as much. So it might be a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, in the sense that because we're not on our game, you know, everybody picks it back up in January. He's ready to go. New season, we're going to do this. Well, and so you get some good content. Maybe during the holidays you don't.
Well, that's why last week's show for the School Podcasting was short. I was doing prep in my head as I'm driving back and forth from Cleveland to Cuyahoga Falls. And I just got down and was like, you know what? I had a lot of more stuff I wanted to do for this episode. I'm prepared to do this much. And that's what it is. I was like, I'm not going to, you know, put it out. And even that, I had notes in front of me. And if you listen to that episode halfway through, I ran out of notes. And I was like, all right, well, here we go.
That's good. It was good, but it was short. You're right. I mean, I listened to it and it was short. Sometimes that's what you have to do. I mean, it's just one of those things. I think the pro tip in this is, if you want your quality to be consistent through the holidays, you recommended start queuing some of that stuff up early. So, you know, Land's End and REI, they don't shoot their Christmas catalogs in November, right? They shoot them in June. And so when we think about our podcast stuff, if we want strong content through the holidays and we're not going to have the time to give it, you got to start stacking that stuff up, you know, August, September. When you have the time, when you're in the zone, when you can get the guests, maybe you come up with a few alternatives where you do some things where you can preload it. Not every show is best for preloading, like the TV content shows. You can't preload those. But maybe you can come up with some interviews that aren't time sensitive that you could stick in that place. So I think it's one of those things, if you don't want your quality to go down, do it when your quality is good and you got to pre-do them.
Well, and I mean, why do you think the last show of the year is what is my favorite podcast and why? Because I start that November, because I know at the end of the year, I'm going to be busy with family and friends and things like that. So I start that in November and I will have that done probably by the second week of December. And then the last week of the year, I'm basically off. It's on autopilot and good to go. And that's one of the reasons why I did that, because it's hard to do every year.
But you're dependent on the quality being your listeners. And I think this year you said you're having trouble getting people to give you good quality. So if you're going to depend on your listeners for the quality, you've got to be willing to take what they give you. That's a problem.
Yeah. It's not so much quality. It's great quality when it shows up. I just wasn't getting any quantity, which I'm finding out people are waiting to the last minute, as they always do. I shouldn't have panicked. Sean asked, do you guys have a template for guests to sign? Waiver type to cover your butts should a stink arise. I actually don't have a written one, and I'm getting kind of horrible at this. I just realized the last couple interviews I've done, I haven't done this. I used to do an audio one where I would get to the end of the show and I would say, great, hey, thanks so much for coming on the show. Is there anything on there that you would want released to the public? And, you know, they always go, no, that was good. And I cut that out. So I have the original file of them saying, no, it's good. I know there's a guy, I've yet to download the book. There's a new guy that's not Gordon Firemark that has a free legal guide that has some pre-made templates and waivers and sign off forms and things like that. Jim, do you do anything like that?
You know, I was just thinking, I have never, ever, in the 5 years I've been doing this, I've never had a guest sign anything, or I've never gotten any legal stuff from them. So I don't know. Am I wrong, Dave? What kind of risk am I putting myself at if I'm, I mean, really what could happen, right? Someone could say, I did a podcast out of a conference 2 years ago, and there was some legal dispute between the guest and the company she was working for. Then they sent me a cease and desist that said, you need to pull that, more of a pull that thing. And I just pulled it. You're like, okay, sounds good. I'm going to take it down. I'm going to mark it private. No one will ever see it again. But I don't know, Dave, am I taking a chance? I mean, I do, you know, my show is a combination of community. So I bring guys on that are part of the community that we do interviews. And then every once in a while I'll do an interview with an industry guy. I've never had them sign anything. Am I putting myself at risk?
Maybe, I guess, you know.
I don't see where.
Yeah.
I don't see where. So
there is the one and only from Corner Talk. How's it going, Darren, man? I was just thinking about you. I was wearing your shirt yesterday.
Oh, really? Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Hey, quick thing. You guys are talking about releases and things. I thought I'd just pop in and tell you this. When I have a guest come on our show, because, of course, we talk about some pretty specific things, but I send them to a guest link page, and, you know, it tells them about how to get on the show and things like that. And also at the, as it goes down, they fill in their picture and who they are and their title, what they're going to be talking about. But at the very bottom, it requires them to read a statement that says that I have rights to produce it and to put it out. And they have to click yes, and then that gets sent to me. And I just print them and put them in a file. And it's all off my website. It's called a contributor information form. And it also gives me all the information I need for contact. And when I put my show notes together, I use their public email, their public, whatever they want like that. So it's a good guide for me. Plus I just print it and throw it in a file. And if someone ever comes back and says, wait a minute, you shouldn't have put that out there. Well, this person said he clicked it. It says yes. So I don't know if it helps or not, but it seems to work pretty easy. And I've only had one or two guests that I've bypassed that only because I've personally known them. I don't know. It worked for me.
And we have somebody in the chat room wants to know, what's your website?
Cornertalk.com.
Yeah, it's an interesting show.
Yeah, it's by death investigators for death investigators, all about death investigators. And we talk about death investigation as investigators, not from theory. So it is an interesting show.
They're looking for the link to your form.
Okay. Go to cornertalk.com/guest.
That'll take them right there.
That's a good idea, Darren. I have a guest prep form. I think if you go to theaverageguy.tv/guest, it is a form that Mike Howard and I put together. But I like your idea. Even on the bottom, if it was a Google Doc, you know, it was a submission to a Google Doc where they were putting their name and typing their signature that had some verbiage, legal verbiage in it that said, hey, blah, blah, blah. You know, there is no such thing as completely legal or completely illegal, right? Anytime you go to court, it's an interpretation of the law. Right. So, you know, the best you can do is just make sure you're as solid as possible with your wording. But that's a good idea, maybe, to have that guest. For me, too, it'd be good to just have the guest review all the processes. So, like, good microphone, here's some trips to be successful, blah, blah, blah. By the way, sign the bottom of this electronically, and at least you've got some submission. In my case, Darren, I'm going to take it down. If somebody comes to me, I don't care. If anybody comes to me and says, take down the content, it is gone for any reason at all. I'm not going to mess around with it. I'm not going to go, no, I have a sign off from you. Even if they did sign it off, I'd probably take it down.
Right. Yeah. Guest link, it'll walk them through getting on the show, and the contribution form is what is that part of it. But it walks them through scheduling their own time slots, how to prepare for a microphone, how to prepare for video, how to prepare their room, and it kind of walks them through every step of getting ready to be on the show. And then right 2 days before the show, I contact them personally and work out the final details. But I like automation, and if more I can automate my guests to do their own things, just the easier it is.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all I wanted to add in. Hopefully that'll help somebody. It's there if they want to see it. I just used it through some plugin to make forms, and it just ties right to my page. So
no, cool. Good stuff, Darren. Thank you.
All right. See you guys.
Appreciate it. Sean P. Kelly says something I said, though. He says, I guess it depends on if you're really doing a heavy interview, no softballs and more journalistic. Yeah, I think if you're, you know, you've got to do, we're not lawyers, right? You've got to do what you feel is necessary to be legal in your, I don't do those kinds of interviews often. And so to me, the ROI is very low, I think, said to the guy right before he gets sued, you know? But for me, I just haven't done it.
Jim, I think you have one of these. Jason E. Norris asks, is there an accountability group for podcasters?
Yeah.
It's called Make One. I mean, I mean, I have the Castermind group at castermind.com if you're interested in submitting to that to see if you that's one where I have to kind of talk to you to make sure you're going to fit. But isn't that basically what Mike Howard is to you?
Mike Howard is my accountability guy. You have to find somebody, I think, who will be brutally honest with you about your podcasting. And I don't know if just signing up in a Facebook group is what does it. The motivations there are different. And so Mike and I have done a lot of things together over the years. It just kind of, we didn't intend for it to be that way. It just kind of worked out. And so I think you got to find a friend who will be brutally honest with you about your podcast and tell you, for me, it's not as much with Mike and I, it's not as much about what we're doing wrong, but sharing what we're doing right. And so this is one of those kinds of things where Mike and I would leapfrog each other. I would do something and then he would try to do it better than me. And so he'd leapfrog me and I'd be, and then he would share with me what he did. And then I would take it to the next and we would get incrementally better as we shared those tips with each other. So don't think of it in a negative way, like someone saying, hey, you really ought to think about, although that's helpful. I think more in the positive way, which is like, hey, I just learned how to do this. Do you want to do it too? Mike's been trying to get me to fix my video, not fix it, but go more hardcore video with like vMix and some of those, you know, the softwares. And I just won't do it. But those are the kind of things. It's the second I said I need help with vMix, boom, he would be there to get me going on it. So that's the kind of relationship I think that's helpful.
Yeah, and is it just one of those things where to you it's like if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Or in because to me when I see like camera switching, I'm like I got enough going on right now. It's like
you're right on. I don't know if it gets me any more value for what I'm doing now. Gallup is asking me to do some new stuff here in the next year that's going to probably require some of that. And so when I get to that point, but there's no, for me, I don't think on the show that I do, there's a good solid return for that on Home Gadget Geeks. You know, we use Google Hangouts, although we are going to do two shows on Blab here in December. I planned those out, some Blab shows where we're going to take the tech to Blab. Full show will be on Blab. Not going there full time. Just going over there to try it out, see, get some audience feedback from that standpoint. But it's, if it's not broken, don't fix it. That's for sure.
Well, I'm going to break my own rule. I have a Blab question.
We were just talking about Blab. We should have buzzed that.
I'm going to turn back on my notifications because when Blab first came out, I was getting notified
horribly.
Last night I'm still unpacking boxes. I've been very slow with this and I'm looking for SD cards and things like that. And I said, you know what? I just want some background noise. So I went to Blab. I was not the target audience of anyone that was on Blab. I'll put it that way. I used to find really good stuff to listen to.
It's bad.
And I was like, wow, that's a bummer because that's what brings people here. And I was just kind of like, yeah.
But Google Hangouts went the exact same way. So if we remember back in the day, it started, everybody jumped on it. This is really cool. All the tech guys came to it. Then all the marketing and SEO, all that stuff showed up, right? And then everybody was kind of like, there isn't anything good here. And they even tried help outs. Do you remember those where you could sign up and create shows? Not too different than a Blab in a lot of ways. I think that's the natural progression of this. I think we're in that, in the Gartner hype cycle, right, where it goes up and it peaks and then the quality goes down and then it scoops, scoops back up so you can see it again. I think we're on that fall. I think the hype cycle is over and we're on the fall and there's just going to be a ton of just junk content out there for a while, and good stuff will come. And yeah. I think we'll cycle out and it'll get better. But right now,
I love the chat room.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Stargate Pioneer says, I'm searching Blag, cannot find anything but drunken parties and get rich quick guys. That's basically what I found last night.
Yeah.
And then Kim, who was just here, said, I checked out one with an interesting image. Turned out to be a guy exercising wearing just a towel. Wow. I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for somebody to go, you know what I mean? It's like, because when it's live, you know, what stops somebody from getting their freak on in front of a camera? And, you know, granted, now on the other side of that, Blab is always here. Like anytime we've ever needed help, I've seen like an actual Blab staffer come in. So I'm pretty sure they would shut that down immediately. But the interesting thing is, I think, again, we had the guys from radio come in that said, hey, you guys are doing a really good show. I think if you come in with a topic and have an idea of what you're going to talk about and you're not just winging it, you have a better chance of standing out. Because I didn't want to come in and say, man, Blab sucks recently, but
it's not. I think there's more crap than good. There's some good stuff on there. And so I think it's just finding it that sometimes is the problem when you get in there. We've talked about wisdom of the crowd in this, and that just because it's real doesn't mean it's real interesting. Right. And so all this Blab stuff is real, right? Just some of it. And you know what? I want to be cautious because we may not be really interesting to some people. Like there may be people who jump in this Blab and go, what? Two guys talking about podcasting. I am noticing a lot of podcasts about podcasters or podcasting popping up on Blab, though. I get those notifications. And it's like, you know, how to start a podcast or podcasting this. And I need to pop over there and see what they're doing. See, check the quality, see what it is. But, you know, we consistently run 35 or 40 on a Saturday morning. We got a great chat room and we get good engagement and we get good feedback. So I'm assuming, Dave, what we're doing is reaching the target audience in the way it's intended to be reached. I don't know if all the content is or not. I'm just hesitant to get too crazy about saying Blab sucks.
Yeah,
because I think there is some good stuff out there. I just think anytime you're going to open it to the public, just go to Walmart on any given Saturday and see who shows up. And
I knew Bill's going to come in here and say, Blab doesn't suck. I'm not saying Blab the platform sucks. I'm saying the people creating content, I'm not their target audience. So here comes Bill. Bill's going to say it's the best platform because I know Bill.
Yeah, I'm on my, you can see I'm on my laptop today. Moving around. We have relatives and family here. So my studio is like, occupied in Studio B. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sound good.
Here I got my laptop going instead of the fun stuff. But no, Blab, I think, is an amazing platform to tell the truth, and I think it's going to be more future. I've produced really good podcasts using Blab because you can start and stop. You can pause. You can talk to your interviewee and say, hey, let's ask these questions. Let's take a break and then go into the second part. Yeah. So I think it's the easiest platform. Gives a good way of, you know. So I'm really hooked on Blab. The other thing, too, is I started a regular show. I always wanted to get a political podcast going today, but it's a lot of work. So I started a show called Meet. In fact, I'm redoing the webpage right now, meetthevoter.com. And it's right after Meet the Press. The last two shows, I had over 1,100 people come in and look at the show. I had worldwide from France. I had 600 last time. And then I haven't found a place on iTunes for that yet, so I've been put in different places, but I think that's going to be a really top-notch show on iTunes because I only take about 30 minutes of content of several hours.
Bill, aren't you worried about using the term meet the press?
Meet the voter.
I know, but I've seen you on Blab put meet the press.
Yeah.
Are you worried about
meet the press?
I know, but that's like a TV show owned by CBS.
Right.
You're not worried about that at all?
No, it's Meet the Voter. We analyze and talk about Meet the Press for about 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, you talk about Meet the Press.
If you want to buy meetthepress.com, it's up available for $18,000.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. No, I just thought you were calling the show Meet the Press. No,
it's called Meet the Voter. In fact, I just took down my website. I have like 18 websites. I just took down the website to rebuild it on a separate platform, a solid state platform. It's really tough. The other thing I did for Thanksgiving, this is just off the side, is I now have three host servers. I'm playing around them. Ground site. I have the old Bluehost. I've got Bluehost working really fast. I'm really impressed with Bluehost, believe it or not, even though a lot of people hate it. Ground site. And then I got another solid state independent out of San Francisco. It's just a standalone solid state server.
Cool.
And I mean, you know what the best place to do sound tests? Where do you think the best place to go do sound sound tests, speed tests, is on your sites?
I use speedtest.net.
Yeah. Oh, that, no, not on your internet site, but on your website, you know, how fast it loads.
Oh. I have no idea.
Go to an Apple store. Test them all. No, it is. It's a good place. I just thought about that. It's a great place because they clean up their computers every night, and you can see how each one of your sites is loading. Just a thought. So you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
Yep, you too, Bill.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving, right?
Oh. Did you have a good Thanksgiving, Dave?
Football, food, what more do you want?
Yeah, moving.
Yeah. Unpacking boxes. Isn't that what everybody does on Thanksgiving? So
I set up websites. Anyway, I really think Blab's going to evolve and become even stronger.
Yeah. I was
don't disagree.
That's what I just said just before you came in. I said, I'm not bashing Blab.
I saw that. No, you're saying it's like all this crap that's on there. Sure, there's a lot of crap, but podcasts got a lot of crap on them too.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. So,
in fact, there's probably a lot more podcasts than there are Blab sites, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably.
Hey, have a good week.
We'll see you later. Bill.
Thanks for chiming in.
And if you're joining us live, it sounds like the show is over. It's not. We're going to hang out for a little bit more, but we always cut it at an hour. And if you want to hear, if you've missed previous post-show conversations, go over to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome and be one of our awesome supporters and get your name listed on our website. And you get it's one of the things, Jim, when you logged in last week, there's a lot of content there now.
I know. I actually got an email this week that said, hey, there's new content. And it was the post show from last week. So that a mechanism works on Patreon.
Yeah. So thanks so much. As always, you can find Jim at theaverageguy.tv. You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. Don't forget, if you're listening to this live today, $100 off at the School of Podcasting Black Friday sale. Go over to theschoolofpodcasting.com, and you'll see it right there on the sidebar as well. And that ends Monday. And, of course, that is risk-free. If you don't like it, you have 30 days to cancel your subscription and get your money back. All that other whole thing. Yeah, it's exactly. It's a great deal. He's gone crazy. This
Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you. We'll have to talk. I guess we're going every Saturday. We'll have to figure out what we're doing around the holidays. But we'll be here next week. That's for sure. Askthepodcastcoach.com/live. Yeah, Podcast Movement has a great deal going on. But we will see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach. And if you're listening live, hang tight because Dave's going to fade up the music, and I'm trying to see how much time I have left. 6 seconds.